Welcome to the TEFL Training Institute podcast, the bite-sized TEFL podcast for teachers, trainers, and managers.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
That's the voice of our special guest today, who is...
Fifi Pyatt. It's me, Felicity.
Welcome. Awesome to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me.
Cool.
So, Fifi, do you want to introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. I am a teacher trainer in Guangzhou, and I'm also a really big nerd, which will come up later.
Let's bring it up now. The thing you wanted to talk about, which I think is an awesome topic, is role plays.
Yeah. I want to talk about how we can use role plays in the classroom and how we can learn from role-playing games.
Awesome. So today we've got three questions, as always.
And the first one is why role plays are awesome.
Second one is how can we set role plays up to be successful? And the third one,
how can we wrap up a role play?
So guys, why are role plays awesome?
We often use role plays as like the final task or the freer practice of a class. And I think it's sometimes the closest that we can get the students to real world situation. So if we can make it as realistic as possible, then hopefully when they do find themselves in that situation, it will just spring back into their heads.
Jason Anderson, in his awesome book that's got tons and tons of role plays in it, talks about four reasons why it's really important for teachers to include role plays in their lessons. Main reasons are, one, that they provide lots of spoken language practice for students. Second is they give students like a test run of the language in a real world scenario. Thirdly, it allows students to leave their regular personas behind and gives them a chance to, I guess, literally take on a role. And then finally, they involve some element of play. One other reason that I thought role plays can be really motivating for students is that if you pick like an interesting topic, an interesting role, the students end up getting really emotionally involved.
And I think the emotions that it does bring up, although they can be negative emotions in that situation, they're not negative emotions about the learning. So if they're negotiating a salary bonus or something, one of them who's like on the losing end will feel upset with their so-called boss, but once the role play finishes, hopefully that's not going to spill over into their perceptions of the lesson so much.
When I thought about the emotional involvement, I thought about your story about when you were playing, was it Burn the Witch?
Right? Oh,
this nerdy role-playing game, right? And you were do you want to tell the story briefly?
Sure. So I and my partner really enjoy playing role-playing games. We had a group of friends over and we played this game called The Witch, Road to Lindisfarne. And in this game, one player is the witch and then all the other people play a selection of knights and monks who have to take the witch to Lindisfarne, which is a place in England, and decide if they're going to burn her or not. And in this game I was the witch, and at the very end the whole party decided to burn me, which was it was quite emotional actually, because after 3 hours of being these characters, we felt a real attachment to where they were coming from and what the story was. And as my partner was reciting his lines to burn me, he looked into my eyes and we both started crying. And it was crazy.
Wow.
But then we finished the game and we felt like we were ecstatic. It was such a good feeling. You get kind of that rush.
Wow.
Afterwards, yeah.
For me, yeah. You two just mentioned about, you know, when the student's being in a role and they probably have some sort of emotion. But I was thinking maybe they're in a role which normally they are not in that role in real life, and then they had a chance to be in that role and they can think from the other person's perspective. For example, like negotiation. Mm. So maybe they got upset with their managers. Why didn't you give me a pay raise? However, there might be some reasons the manager considered whether they're going to give a pay raise or not.
Mm.
So this person had a chance to think about the whole thing from the manager's perspective.
Mm.
So kind of understand the whole thing, why it didn't work, why it worked. You know what I mean?
Because it's usually almost like it helps people empathize with other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's probably not really related to learning strategies, but related to
people skills. Like, it sounds like it should be a 21st century
skill. Yeah, 21st century skill. Yeah.
Okay, So in order for a role play to work, what were some of the ingredients that you need?
The first thing it should be setting the context, because, for example, you're again having a negotiation with your manager, just kind of set up the classroom as in the office, or if you are having a role play like a job interview and try to change the seating plan, just make sure the class dynamic and is suitable for your role play.
Yeah.
Very naturally, the students know what they're going to do without much explanations and just very naturally doing it.
Right. I guess you can use other things as well as the seating, can't you? Right. Like I've even seen for role plays in a certain place, like an airport or a coffee shop, that teachers might download and play some background sounds from that place, or you might have pictures on the walls or a projector showing like an image of where you're meant to be. How do you get the class to trust you when you're doing something like a role play that they might not have done before?
You, as the teacher, have to be the most outgoing person in the class. So if you're willing to go up and model something for them and like really ham it up, then the students will catch some of your enthusiasm. I think as long as you're excited about doing it and you can show it and you can get them out of that bums on seats, hands on the desk kind of situation, that will help to relax them and help to put them on the road.
Do you think it's important then to give students some kind of a demonstration then before? Because I always worry when you do something like that, that it might kind of limit students' imagination.
I think it depends on the role play. So for example, I once actually did a class role playing in small groups. So the students were actually making a story together. One member of each group was like the director. What I did first of all was played it as an entire class, and I played the director, and I was jumping around and getting very excited and showing pictures on my phone and getting them to like shout out ideas and stuff.
But I think I have a different feeling though. I don't really feel students have a really limited ideas on how to interact and produce language in a role play. I feel that the teachers usually have the very strict
narrow idea
what the students can only produce in a role play. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So speaking about that, the production thing there from a linguistic point of view, what do you think about this sort of debate between the task-based learning approach where you shouldn't tell students to use certain language in a role play versus kind of saying, all right, we're doing a role play, these are the roles, please try and use these phrases that we've covered earlier in the class. What do you think the sort of balance of that should be?
And we cannot avoid the teachers giving the specific language, you know, they expect of the students at the end of the class, because, you know, for teachers, they need to make sure the parents or the customer can see the progress at the end of their package or semester that they studied. So they need to make sure it's measurable. So I think there were some certain language that they need to be able to tick the boxes.
Yeah. Well, I think if we are using a role play as a classroom activity, then you're right, it does need to have that kind of language practice element. And perhaps directing the students to try and use the language, but not just stick to it. I mean, one thing you could do is put the forms on the board with some blank spaces and get the students to like try and freestyle a bit with it.
I've even seen that a really simple thing is just if you have some of those phrases on the board, then you can have some of the less confident students in the role play in the seating facing the board and the more confident students facing away from the board so that they have less scaffolding for them.
I think you're maybe talking about more related differentiation in role plays, which is really important. I think everybody needs to do some sort of differentiation, like either you give instructions and the roles based on their English level or proficiency.
So something I'd also seen before making a huge difference in role plays is just some really simple props. Like Tracy, I remember you telling me about someone interviewing someone else and having a rolled up bit of paper to be a microphone, or like in a restaurant role play, just giving another bit of paper as a menu, and all those things can make it seem more real. Is that something that you guys have found useful, and did you have any like particularly good props that you'd seen teachers use in the past to make role plays kind of come alive a bit more?
Again, it's related to airport and flight and everything. The teacher make a passport for each individual student.
That's lovely. That's assuming that you don't have that many students and you know exactly who's going to be in the class.
That's true.
So I saw quite a good one ordering in a restaurant. So in this situation you had one or two students as customers, then one waiter and one cook. And the cook had a bunch of cutouts of different foods. And they had to, first of all, figure out like what foods they would use to cook different menu items. And then they realized that they were missing some of the foods. And so as the customers were ordering, the waiter would take the order, shout the order to the chef, and then the cook could have a look at the ingredients that they had and see if they could work something out and then try and improvise.
So let's move on to our final question then. What's the best way to wrap up a role play? I at least often find that the worst thing the teacher can do is nothing at all. You end a role play and then you just move on to the next point. And I find that can be really frustrating for students, that they want some sort of a closure or something on whatever has just happened.
Mm. It's like we are running listening and reading post tasks or activities. So have something sort of related to what they've done before. For example, and you may want to say, oh, which waiter do you think, you know, provided the best service? Or maybe like, okay, which job would you like to apply the most and the reason why? Give them an opportunity to share their experience.
Yeah, that's so important. So you can give them some objective feedback about their language use, but then, yeah, asking them about their emotions and like what happened in their story and which bit they're proudest of and which bit they would like to try again perhaps.
So I said earlier that the worst things a teacher can do is to do nothing, but I used to feel it was like also a wasted opportunity when teachers would give this kind of like non-feedback at the end and just say, oh, you guys, you did such a good job. Mm. Well done. I'm so proud of you. It was so interesting. Mm. That always felt to me just like a bit of a waste, right? But what do you think is an example of good feedback then that maybe teachers can give to students at the end if they want to say something meaningful?
So when you're reviewing what the students are talking about, you could say, oh, Sharon, so what were you trying to do with your partner? And Sharon will go, oh, I was trying to order some chicken noodles. And you say, okay, so can you remember the language that you used to order your chicken noodles? And then you can write that on the board and give praise or correct it if necessary.
Or maybe something can be like related to learning strategies or learner autonomy. Like, so during the role play, which bit you felt really difficult?
Mm.
Like, oh, I felt difficult when he or she asked me the question. I don't know how to say it. Mm. And I don't know how to describe the food in English because I don't know the word. Okay, great. So maybe you can write it down on your notebook so you can either find out by yourself or you can ask other students or ask the teachers. It helps the learners to find out the area they need to improve.
Great. Mm. Something else I'd find quite useful is in a class, maybe where you'd specified, like, here's some phrases you can use might be useful. Afterwards, just getting the students to go, okay, you just did this role play. Can you look at the board and go, like, which of these phrases did you use more and which did you use less? One time I did it and the student said, oh, I didn't use this one because I think it's rude.
Mm.
And it was like a great chance to go, oh, okay, well, why do you think that's rude? Actually, this isn't very rude. A more rude way of saying it would be this. You know, and a less rude way of saying it might be this. And there's something else I like doing at the end of role plays is so often you hear unusual language or something great that the students say. And I always think at the end of the role play, if you don't want to correct for whatever reason, you can write one or two of those unusual words that students came up with on the board and go, oh, Vivi, you said this. Can you explain to everyone what this great word is that you said? I always think that's such good value that you can get after a role play of getting the students to share great phrases with the rest of the class. So, Fifi, to wrap up then, pretty much most teachers will have used role plays at some point or another, but what do you think is the main thing maybe that teachers can take more advantage of from like role playing games used outside the classroom that they can bring inside the classroom?
I think the more you can help the students with the visualization of the situation, the more space they'll have in their brain to produce the language. So if you're getting them to like imagine themselves in the situation and imagine what the space looks like and imagine the stuff that they've got in front of them, then they're spending much more brain space on that they could be spending on producing amazing language. The more visual and physical and auditory help that you can give the students, the more you're doing for them in a good way.
Phoebe, thanks very much.
Thank you
for coming on. It was awesome to have you.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
For more podcasts, videos, and blogs, visit our website, www.tefltraininginstitute.com.
If you've got a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, leave us a comment.
And if you want to keep up to date with our latest content, add us on WeChat at Tefl Training Institute.
If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate us on iTunes.